The scripture tonight is an example of two things. First of all, I've entitled this series, Abused and Misused. Some folks, I think, almost intentionally abuse scripture. Some folks innocently misuse scripture. And tonight, it's one of an innocent misuse of scripture. Secondly, it's an example of something I told you last Wednesday night. I said, I don't know how many we can get to, but if you have one you'd like us to look at, if you just tell me about it. And I'm not sure that one wanted me to talk about this or preach about it, but in conversation, one of the last services, this I hadn't intended on looking at this verse, but it came up, and so we're going to look at it tonight. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? This is in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 45 of Matthew chapter 5. So if you have a red-lettered edition, these are the red letters of Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, we'll interrupt him just midstream, and then we'll take in just a few more verses as we look at this. He said, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. And here's the part that's often misused. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, here it is, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So tonight we're going to talk about it rains on the just and the unjust. Father, help us, Lord. Lord, even as we take this unique approach to your word, speak to our hearts. Help us to hear your voice within our souls. Help us, Lord, to sense that spiritual renewal is on its way. God, that you're talking to a people, talking to the deep parts of our heart. God, help me, Lord, to present this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It rains on the just and on the unjust. That has went beyond scripture. It's become a cliche of the English language. But how many has heard that? It rains on the just and the unjust. You know, we use these cliches ostensibly to comfort one another. I mean, let's just create a scenario. You get up and you hear a sound in the house and discover that overnight one of the water feeds to the sink has sprung a leak, and that shh you hear is water spraying everywhere, collecting on the floor. Then you hear a cry from the bedroom. It's one of your kids. They got 103 temperature. Find a sitter, go out to the garage to go to work, and you got a flat tire. You get to work, and the boss meets you, and he just yells at you for something you didn't do. You go to lunch, you get in the break room, you reach into your bag and pull out the sandwich your wife fixed you, and the bread is molded. You head home, you're in a traffic jam, stuck. It takes you an hour to go 3 miles. You get home, you stop at the mailbox, get the mail, and there's a letter from the IRS. You're going to be audited. And so when you get a break, you call one of your dear brothers in the Lord, and you begin to, on the phone, begin to pour out your heart to him. And you pause so he might say words of comfort and encouragement to you. And he says, well, it rains on the just and on the unjust. Didn't that help? Didn't that help? This is a misuse of this scripture. As we've been doing this, let's talk about how it's wrongly interpreted. When someone today says it rains on the just and on the unjust, they're saying, hey, buddy, don't you know you're not exempt from troubles just because you're a Christian? Don't you know that being saved doesn't give you a free pass from troubles and trials? That's what they mean. It rains on the just and the unjust. Don't you know that bad things happening to you doesn't mean that you're bad? You could still be good and bad things happen to you. Rains on the just and on the unjust. In a deeper sense, some have thought it through, and what they're trying to say is, look, wise up. We live in a fallen world. And until God completes his plan of redemption, this world's going to give us troubles and give us problems. Now, I want you to notice, on all of those wrong interpretations, not one of those things are falsehood. Every one of those things are true. Every one of those wrong interpretations I gave you are truths. They are true. That's not wrong. It's right. The only trouble is that is not what Jesus meant by it rains on the just and on the unjust. Let me give you some reasons I think people have interpreted this wrong. I guess one reason it just sounds so right to say to people when they're having trouble. I mean, somehow it got started and people just think that's the thing to say. It rains on the just and on the unjust. Sounds spiritual, you know? It does. A little deeper than that, I think really they're trying to reassure themselves and others that just because bad is happening in their life doesn't mean that they're bad. And they need that reassurance. I think another reason is we got to come to the place that we realize it's not going to be a picnic all the way to heaven. How many's pretty much figured that out? And so we say it rains on the just and unjust to say, hey, it's not going to be easy, this life that we live in. And then I think another reason is the last wrong interpretation I gave is because we come to realize that we are redeemed, but our world's not yet redeemed. We're saved, but our world is not yet renovated. And by the way, there'll be a day when this world will be renewed, renovated, made new, every problem solved, every mosquito killed, or designated to another a function. And so we have these wrong interpretations because we're trying to deal with the reality of the world that we live in. Now, here's the irony. We've been looking at these verses. The irony is it rains on the just and unjust has nothing to do with bad things and everything to do with good things. It rains on the just and unjust isn't about bad happening to folks. It's about good happening to folks. You see, we've taken this quote about, let me just tell you, get a little ahead of myself, but this is a quote about how we are to treat others. You may not have realized this, the rains on the just and unjust is really a quote about how we should treat others. I don't know if you've ever realized that or thought about it, but it really is. It's about how we treat others. So we've taken this quote on how we're to treat others, and we turn it into a verse about how badly we are treated. And that's how things begin to get twisted from the Word of God. So let's look what it really says. We usually start with the context, but I want to start with the intention. And Brother Mike's not here to help us tonight because he doesn't have the mechanism. So please have your Bibles open because you've got to see some of these verses in a moment. And I want to call your attention back to verse 45 for just a moment. Notice, first of all, Jesus never said, it rains on the just and on the unjust. Did you see that? Look there at the verse 45. He never said, it rains on the just and the unjust. What does it say? God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, you know when you say it rains on the just and unjust, that makes it random. That makes it by chance. That makes it just something fatalistically that happens. It just happens. It rains on the just and unjust. But it's a whole different thing when you say he or God, he sends the rain on the just. It's not fatalistic. It's not happening by chance. It's not random. God is in control. God does it. God sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, I want you to know, when Jesus said this, he never intended for it to be taken as a negative thing. He's meant it to be taken as something that we would lift our hands and say, well, hallelujah. What he's saying is God gives this good gift of rain to the just, but he gives this good gift of rain to the unjust. How many knows God is the giver of good gifts? James put it this way, every good gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You say, well, how do you know that rain is good? Well, first of all, Jesus was talking to folks in an arid climate. You read the Bible. Rain, in very few places in the Bible is rain seen negatively. Rain is seen as a blessing of the Lord. Why? If you live in an arid climate, especially, everything depends on rain. It's rare, and you need it. And so when Jesus said it rains, he, God, sends rain, the people think, that's a great thing. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. I think it was last week, I heard a lot of, or maybe it was Sunday, I heard some folks talking. They were complaining about all the rain that we've been having lately. Come on, be honest. Has anyone else been complaining about how much rain? Well, he sends rain on the just. And I heard someone else speak up and said, well, I imagine the folks in California would take it. Would it be bad in California to talk about, would they take that as a bad thing that God sends rain? No, it would be a positive thing. It would be a positive thing. You know, we complain about the rain when it comes against what we want to do. It rains on our golf game. It rains on our picnic. It rains on our yard work. Or we simply get tired of all those gloomy clouds. But down deep we know we got to have rain. And rain is a good thing. And so let's just get this right. When Jesus said he sends rain on the just and unjust, what he's saying is God is so good. He doesn't just give rain to the just. That's a blessing. But God is so good, he gives rain to the unjust. Can't we say hallelujah? That's been the underlying theme of the service. God's a merciful God. He sends the good rain to the just, but he is so good. He sends rain to the unjust. Now, I know at times God disciplines his people, and I know God will judge the unjust, but that is after he's been good enough over and over to shower them with good things. God is so good. So let's look at the context. This is a Sermon on the Mount. And at this point in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to talk about how we, as the children of God, should act and conduct ourselves towards others. And what he's saying here is God is good to everybody. Therefore, we, as his children, should be good to everybody. Please look in your scripture here. This is so important. Look back at the verse. Because I don't know if you noticed this the last two times we read it tonight. He begins this, that ye may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. He's talking about how we act like the Father, how we act like the children of God. And what Jesus is saying is God's children, we should not react or act to others according to what is just natural, what just comes natural. We should not do that. How many woke up naturally feeling grouchy? And you were naturally grouchy towards others. Did you know Jesus right here says we are not to act and react just by what comes natural? Did you realize he says that? You say, how does he say that? Well, look at the verse here. Look at verse 43. Here's what's natural. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. It's talking about a good neighbor here. Isn't it natural to love your family? To love those you like? To love your friends? But is it natural to love your enemies? No. Let's go on. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Well, they don't like me. Start praying for a way to do good to them. Pray that God would bless them. And then he goes even further and says, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, that's not natural. We want to get even. If someone has done something wrong against us, we want retribution. We want to ignore them. We want to talk bad about them. We want to throw them dagger looks and all of this. That's natural. But Jesus said, I say unto you, don't do just what's natural. Just love your family and friends. Do what your father would do, what is spiritual, and love your very enemies. That's when this verse comes. Why should we love our enemies? Why do we bless them that curse us? Why do we do good to them that hate us? Why do we pray for those that despitefully use us? That we may be children of our Father, which is in heaven. In other words, when you love your enemies, you're acting like your father. And that's when he gives an example. For he sends, he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. The Father does that. The Father indiscriminately has the sun shine on evil, the sun shine on good, sends rain on just and unjust. And if we are children of our Father, we will do good to all folks, even if it doesn't come natural. See how far this has gotten from what it really was intended? So, if we're good just to those who are good to us, we're not any different than the world around us. Look at verse 47. Well, 46, I begin reading. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? The publicans are saying. Verse 47, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You're no different. You're just doing what's natural. You say you're saved, but if you're only good to those that are good to you, you're no different than the world around you. That's the way the world acts. I know we like to do what's natural, but if you come to church and the only people you are friendly with are your friends, you're no different than the world. If you don't look and see someone that maybe needs to be cheered up or a visitor to talk to, or if you don't reach out to them and all you do is just be friendly to your friends, you're no different than a publican. Jesus said, but don't be that way. Be like your father. Your father's friendly to the friends, but he's also friendly to his enemies. So what? That's how we end these. So what? What does this verse really teach us? He sends rain on the just and unjust. Well, I'm just going to put it first person. First of all, I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me I should focus on what the verse does, the goodness of God. See, we've established this verse isn't about bad things happening. It's about how God sends good things to us. And I know all of us could write a list of things that aren't just the way we'd have them in our lives. But we need to stop and make another list, and that's of the goodness of God. He sends rain. Oh, he has sent us rain. Hallelujah. We need to focus on the good things. Yeah, have you ever noticed how quickly and erroneously people blame God for bad things that come their way, but are so slow to thank him and give him praise for the good things? Have you ever thought about that? And you know, and I know you do too, not just me as pastor, but I deal with folks all the time in the church and outside the church that are just upset with God because he had all these bad things happening in their life. And we get a theological discussion about that, whether, you know, God punctured your tire and that's why you had a flat tire or not. We can get through all that, but that's beside the point. Why are we so quick to blame God for all the bad things and so slow to thinking for all the good things? That's one reason we've misinterpreted this verse. It rains on the just. We've made it a bad thing because our focus is on the negative. Amen. How many's ready to have a renewed focus on all the good things that he gives? Good things. Secondly, so what? I should not develop a negative, ungrateful attitude. It's easy to do. Well, I'll tell you what I'm trying to live. God, I go to church every time the doors are open. I pay my tithes. I read my Bible. I pray every day. And I get fired. And my car's broken down. And my neighbor, he's a reprobate. He don't care about God. He cusses. He drinks. And look at that new nice car he's got over in his driveway. God, this is just isn't right. What good does it do to serve God? We ought to not have that attitude, but an attitude of gratefulness. You see, we're saying, well, you know, God sends rain on the unjust. Think with me. Have you ever thought that? God sends rain on the unjust, but they don't deserve it. Wait. And we do. God causes His sun to shine on the evil, and they don't deserve it. And we do. You see, let's not forget something. I got to move on. But if we are just, it was His work of grace that made us just. Amen. And so instead of an ungrateful attitude, we can have a positive one. So what? I should, like God, be indiscriminately good to everybody. I know that's hard. I've already mentioned it doesn't come natural. And Jesus, He set the whole tone for this. He said, and again, I'm not going to be redundant here, but He said, you know, you've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them. What He's saying is be indiscriminate. Whether they're a close friend or somebody you just don't like being around, you shouldn't treat them differently. If you're friendly to your friend, be friendly to the one you don't like being around. And you say, wait a minute, I didn't think we're supposed to be buddy-buddy with sinners and unbelievers. That's not the point. Look, you don't have to have a bosom friend or a kindred spirit and pal around with somebody who doesn't live right. But however they live, you can be kind and cordial and polite and caring and prayerful. And so if God's indiscriminate in how He treats us, we ought to be that way. That you may be children of your Father. Folks that are different, handicapped, different ethnicity, different social backgrounds, different economic backgrounds. You know, you just see things, you know. I don't know why I was thinking of this, just out of the blue, but I think of a young man one time we had in the church, and if I met him after church up here at the altar, he'd be all over himself acting respectful. Oh, pastor, oh, that was a good. And then I'd turn around, and he'd leave, talk to someone else, and I'd see him over my shoulder just really cutting one of the young people down. That's not how God is. And I know different people we show because of positions and stuff, but I'm talking about if he really meant his respect to me, he wouldn't have acted like that to one of the young people. Right? God is indiscriminate. And then, so what? I should realize I live in the same world as the unbeliever. We both have the sun. We both have the rain. We're living. And, you know, this seems an odd point to make, but what I'm trying to say here, I know we're redeemed and I know we're saved, but we're living in the same world as the unsaved. And we do have grounds, commonality, to reach out to them. You go to a public school, you're saved, they're not. You're both going to a public school. There's common ground to reach out to them. You came to know the Lord. You're living for God in that situation. They can come to know the Lord. They can live for God in that situation. See, sometimes after we've been saved a while, we think we live in a different world than they do. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for church. Thank God for all the moving of the Spirit. But when it comes down to it, we live in the same world they do. And instead of being depressed by that, we ought to see that as an opportunity. We saw our need for Christ in this world. They can see their need for Christ in this world. And last of all, so what? Well, I should love even when I receive little or nothing in return. You love your neighbor, and you get a return on that. You love your enemy, what you going to get? Maybe a black eye. And so Jesus is saying we should love even when we do not see a return. God sends rain on the just, and they at least thank him. God sends a rain on the unjust, and they snub their nose at him. They rebel against him, and yet he is good. So let's look at this verse 46 and 47 one more time. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But then he said, love your enemy, that you may be children of your Father. Your Father who causes the sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and your Father who sends rain on the just and the unjust. I'll close with this, and I've had some questions come in. But a lady from here in the States was writing of a experience she had. She had a couple in France, natives of France, that she was good friends with. And he was a very powerful businessman. Always his life was full and busy. And when they got up in middle age, it was discovered his wife had Alzheimer's disease. And he was so busy, had such a schedule, had so many irons in the fire business-wise. But he said, I could not leave her. I could not put her in a home. Everybody told me, put her in a home where they can take care of her, and then you can go about your career. He said, I couldn't do it. He said, I would not let her leave the home, but I stayed home with her, and I bathed her, and I fed her, and I took care of her, and most of the time she didn't even know me. But he said, one night, in the middle of the night, she woke me up, and she had come out of the fog. And her mind at that moment had come back to clarity. And he said, she looked at me. He was telling his friend. She looked at me and she said, darling, I just want to say thank you for all you're doing for me. And then she fell back into the fog. And he told his friend, he said, I wept and I wept. It was just that moment. She looked at him with clarity. I thank you for all you're doing. And went back into the fog. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people living in the fog. And they seem almost impervious when you try to tell them about Jesus, when you try to show them kindness, when you try to love them. It seems like it's not going anywhere. But you don't know what's really getting through. And one day they may come out of the fog and say, I want to know the Jesus that causes you to love and to act like you do. Isn't that the way to be children of the Father? Let me look at these questions quickly. Okay. Well, that was about the announcement. Here's one. So if God sends the rain, so if God rains good things on us, the people of God, then we share those good things and blessings to those that have not been rained on. We then become the ones that rain blessings because our blessings are the rain on others. That's very good. That's a comment. That's very good. We can be like the Father in that we take what he's given us and we extend it. We pass it on to someone else. Very good. Okay. And this could be in a lot of situations. Here's a question. How does this relate to the Christian response to homosexual marriage? You know, it's almost worn out. When folks have said through the years rhetorically, we should love the sinner and hate the sin. And it's almost been worn out, but that's exactly what our response should be. We don't have to agree or condone with folks, but we still do not have to treat them badly, unkindly, incorrigible, because Jesus never did. If you want to look at the record, the only folks, and I say this in quotation marks, that Jesus got rough with in his speech and his words were religious hypocrites. And he treated sinners with respect and all of that. And so our response should be is never to condone the wrongness, never in any way. I know sometimes folks think if you're kind to someone, they think you can condone that. No, that's not true. They know the difference. They know the difference. Just like your kids do when they've done something wrong, they can still tell, even though you're correcting them for the wrongness of what they've done, they can still tell that you love them as a parent. Sometimes it takes a little while for that to catch up, but it eventually will. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what the forecast is tomorrow. And it is awfully soggy. And we have had a lot of it. But if it rains tomorrow, what's going to be our response? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. I want to say, and I'm going to have you pray, I want to say one more time, we are so human. You know what could very likely happen? Before we leave the premises, someone could be saying, man, I went to the doctor and I have this horrible problem the doctor found, and you're going to hear the response, well, it rains on the just and the unjust. We just get stuck with these things, don't we? But what I want to encourage is, on so many of these things, let's just return to the Word and what it really says and what God really wants us to get. And what He really wants us to get from that is, let's be like our Father. Could you stand? Come ahead, music. Praise the Lord. Let's come find a place to pray and let the Word of God find lodging in our heart tonight. Could you do that? Just come say, God, I want to be like my Father. Amen. Someone maybe you don't even get along with, but you say, I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to be caring to them. Praise the Lord. Help me to be like my Father. Hallelujah. Help me to be kind. Help me to be loving. I don't agree with them. I don't agree what they're doing, how they're living. They're not even kind to me. But I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be cordial. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be like our Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to be like my Father. Hallelujah. Father, I want to be like you. Lord, you're so good. You're good to all. You're not sanctioning anything, Lord. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Lord, I want to be like my Father. I want to be like my Father, loving and caring. Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord. Oh, I want to be good. Thank you, Jesus.
Like you.
Oh, Father, with kindness, with love.
More like you.
Love your enemies.
More like you.
Bless them that curse you.
Every day.
Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you.
More like you. More like you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I want is to be more like you.
That you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. I want to be like my Father. I want to be like
more
my Father.
Like you.
Hallelujah. I want to be kind.
Every
I want to be caring.
Day,
thank you, Jesus.
More like you.
Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
Like Jesus.
Oh, to be like Jesus.
Oh,
to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus.
It's all I ask is to be like Him all through life's journey.
Oh, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Hallelujah.